Life According to Jess. I am your host, Jessica Anderson. And boy, do I have a story to tell you guys. I have actually been kind of excited to record this little story because it goes back to one of my first episodes about the Jessica curse. So if you haven't listened to that one, you should definitely check it out. It's just funny how and when it pops up. So this was on a weekend, okay? And I woke up with a migraine despite having taken medicine because I felt it coming on. I knew it was going to be bad. I took medicine when I started feeling it and still woke up with a migraine. So I'm already off to a rough start, but I was determined to still have a good day with the family and enjoy the weekend. We found a fruit fly infestation that had been coming from our garbage disposal. And so we had to get a bunch of fruit fly traps set out, and oh goodness, there were just so many fruit flies, and you couldn't do anything in the kitchen without being swarmed. And of course they were traveling to the rest of the house, so like not that big of a deal, but just annoying, right? And so we get all the traps set up and so that can start being taken care of. Both my husband and my son needed haircuts, which is a long process of getting everyone to cooperate and cleaning it all up. And my son has always been scared of the clippers. Luckily, this time it went much better and I was able to use the clippers on his whole head, because the last time I got about halfway through and then had to use scissors for the rest of the haircut. And you know, I'm an amateur when it comes to cutting hair, so that was very difficult to do. Luckily, this time went a little bit smoother, but by the time that I was done getting the kids in the bath and the hair cleaned up and then myself cleaned up from all of the hair and everything, like it had been a long process. And again, I'm doing all of this with a migraine. Luckily, I had taken some more medicine and so it was starting to die down a little bit, but I still always kind of have like this brain fog thing going on after a migraine, and I usually feel really tired. We had promised the kids the day before that we would take them to the playground because we had gotten too busy and we had said that we would take them the day before. Other things came up and we just ran out of time, and so we compromised to do today. At the same time as we were getting ready to go to the playground and finishing up the haircuts and baths and everything, my son, who's been working on a potty chart, put his last sticker up and wanted to go get ice cream. And so we thought, okay, this will be a great family outing. We'll go get ice cream. We'll take it to the park. We'll have a good time. And after we pick up the ice cream, the park that is only a couple minutes away, we show up and there are literally zero parking spots because there is a baseball game going on at the field adjacent to the park. So we have to travel a little bit farther down the road, probably an extra 6 or 7 minutes to a different park. By the time we get there, my son is covered with chocolate ice cream. He looks like he has pooped his pants, and we debated, do we take him back home and then come back to the park? Do we just let him go? I'm like, we're already here. We have our ice cream that is going to be melting. Let's just stay here. But at this park is a birthday party. So all of the picnic tables that we had planned to sit at and eat our ice cream are taken up by this birthday party. And off to the side of the park is a bouncy house. I have young children, and I knew that this was going to be hard for them. And so I prepped them as we were walking up to the park. I said, kids, listen, we don't know these people. This isn't our birthday party. And we are not going to be getting on the bouncy house. We are here to play at the park and eat our ice cream. And that is it. And both kids seemed okay with it. And so they went and played at the park. They had pretty much finished their ice cream, or, you know, what was left after spilling it in the car. So they were ready to go play. And I said to my husband, I'm so glad we're at the age where our kids can understand that they won't be participating in this birthday party. Because if our kids were younger, they probably wouldn't understand. They'd have a huge meltdown. And our kids were doing great. The kids at the party were a little rude. They were definitely old enough to know that you shouldn't be walking between the swings while kids are swinging there. Like, they were older than my kids. And you could just tell from listening to them talk to their parents and everything, and their parents talking to them, they knew better than walking between swings or walking behind kids swinging. And they were walking behind my kids while they were on the swings. And so I kept having to stop my son on the swing so that these kids wouldn't get knocked back. I'm sure there are people out there who would have just let the kids get hit, but I'm not one of those people. And so I felt like it was every other minute I was stopping my son so these kids could walk through. And I'm like, there's plenty of space to walk around the swing sets. I don't know what you're doing. And so, you know, just once again, another little annoyance, but trying not to let things get to me this day, right? And after a while of having to stop the swing every other minute and kids pushing on the playground and seeing a bunch of construction vehicles that my son would love to play with and staring at the bouncy house, my son starts to have a meltdown about not being able to go on the bouncy house. And I am now eating my words about our kids being old enough to understand that they wouldn't be participating in the birthday party and the bouncy house. And we tried to smooth things over by saying that maybe we could get a bouncy house for my son's birthday, which isn't for like another 8 months. And that wasn't going so well. That wasn't good enough for him. He has actually been in the mode. He has actually been thinking that his birthday is every single day. We have a lot of March birthdays in our family and just the beginning of the year. And so I think my son is ready for his own turn. And we've tried telling him that it's not for a long time, but he's 3. And what can you do for a 3-year-old? So we take our son kicking and screaming about the bouncy house and get into the car. While we had been at the park before the meltdown, I had been talking to my husband about dinner that night. I had visited some family while they were eating baked potatoes the night before, and that had sounded so good. And we had a big bag of potatoes at home. And so I planned our dinner, which I never do. I would say I'm a planner by nature, except for when it comes to dinner. Every night when it hits dinner time, I have absolutely no clue what I'm going to make. And I have things in the house to make for dinner. And I have a printed list of dinner ideas on my fridge. And I take a look at it and usually none of it sounds good. And so that's why I never have any idea what I'm going to make. But that night, I was determined. I knew what I wanted. We get home from our long excursion out with the kids, and I started heating the oven, and I pulled out our bag of potatoes, and the potatoes are sprouted and moldy. So against what I normally do, I sent my husband to the store for potatoes because I desperately wanted them for dinner that night. And I had no idea what else we were going to be having. And I had already started heating the oven. I figured we could all have baked potatoes for dinner. Normally, I just cook them in the microwave. It's like 8 minutes for a potato. And when you're only cooking one or two potatoes, it's not so bad. When you're cooking four or more, it's a little more worth it to put them in the oven for the hour that it takes. My husband took our daughter with him, and I had my son at home, and my son told me that he was feeling hungry and that he wanted pizza. So I made him a little sourdough pizza, and as it's finishing cooking, my husband gets back from the store and he has some Lunchable pizzas for the kids to eat. And I said, okay, well, I just made him this pizza, but now the kids are excited about these Lunchables. And my husband said he'll eat the little sourdough pizza instead. And suddenly, heating the oven for a bunch of baked potatoes seems pointless. So I turned off the oven and figured I'd just make myself a baked potato in the microwave. Because at this point, we had about an hour until our kids were going to go to bed. So I couldn't wait an hour for a potato in the oven anyway. And now my husband even isn't going to be having potatoes anyway, so it's just me. The kids are all settled eating. My husband has the sourdough pizza he's going to eat. And I make myself a potato. I'm the last one to sit down. I prep it all with butter, salt, sour cream, and take my first bite. And the sour cream has gone bad. And that was when I knew that it was just another Jessica curse experience, because not only had my potatoes that I had planned on eating been moldy, but then I make myself a new potato from the store and the sour cream has gone bad. I just started crying because that was the straw that broke the camel's back that day. I was so done. And my husband was so good, and he went ahead and made me another potato. We had a different sour cream in the fridge. We had gotten one of those Costco packs of this squeezable sour cream. And the one that I had used had been open for a little while, but the date, we still had like 3 weeks until the expiration date. So I thought it was fine. And you can't see anything when you're squeezing it out of the pack. It didn't look really like yellowed or anything, so I'm not sure why it tasted bad, but my husband tasted it as well and had said that the first one I tried was bad. Luckily, the second one was unopened and it still tasted fine, and so I was able to eat my potatoes. But wow, like, what an experience to get to that point. It was kind of cool though to go through that whole day where it felt like one thing after another was trying to put me down. Oh, there was also the fact that I had to change poopy underwear right before the haircuts that I gave my son and my husband, because, you know, potty training and the whole pooping in the potty thing has not been going well. So it's just like one thing after another was just little annoyances and things that were kind of wearing me down. And eventually I did get worn down. Eventually I broke down and cried and I said to my husband, I am having the worst day. But it was so cool to know that I had made it that far and that I had been actively using coping skills to try and combat the little frustrations and the annoyances, especially because I was already struggling with the migraine, which kind of lowers my ability to handle emotions and cope anyway. And I made it through most of the day. Things that normally would have triggered me a lot sooner. And I credit a lot of that to the work that I've done in therapy. I've thought a lot about what I wanted to say in this episode because I finished my personal therapy a couple months ago, and I felt like I really needed to sit and think about what I had taken out of that year in therapy. I think I've also been a little nervous to talk about one of the biggest things I took from therapy, which was the fact that my therapist said she didn't think that I had BPD, borderline personality disorder, which I had been diagnosed with by a psychologist back in 2019. So about 4 years ago. And between then and now, I did group therapy and I've tried to implement a lot of the coping skills that I learned there. When I got diagnosed with BPD, it was kind of one of those aha moments where I finally felt understood. And when I was researching about borderline personality disorder, a lot of things kind of clicked that had never clicked before. I had been treated for depression for a very long time. I've had depression ever since I was a kid. And I've seen multiple different therapists and counselors and things. And I've done everything that I could do to fight the depression and still struggled immensely. And it wasn't until I got diagnosed and then had proper group therapy geared towards people with things like borderline personality disorder that I felt like I made any progress. And I am doing so much better than I was doing before that diagnosis. And then to go through personal therapy and have my therapist say that she didn't feel like I had BPD was very interesting. On the one hand, I've read that you can actually be treated and kind of come out of BPD, which had always been my goal with getting therapy, is get to the point where I no longer registered as having BPD. I knew it was treatable. I knew that you could use your coping skills and you would no longer meet the criteria for having BPD. But to say that she didn't see it in me at all was a shock. And so I've thought a lot about that over the last however many months it's been since she first told me. And that was one of the main things that we talked about in my last couple sessions. And I thought about my podcast too, because one of the main reasons I started this was to kind of talk about mental health and my journey with it. And BPD is a big part of my mental health journey. So I've had to do a lot of self-reflection and I've done work with my therapist to kind of understand more about myself. I think I used my diagnosis to explain away whatever I felt like were faults of mine, rather than just accept myself for who I am and accept parts of my personality as me, as Jess. I have overanalyzed a lot of my reactions and my thoughts and tried to analyze, well, am I thinking this because I have BPD? I've done that for a long time, for the last several years. So what I've had to do instead is just kind of accept my reactions, accept my thoughts, accept my personality for who I am. And rather than fight against it or second guess whether or not I should be feeling something, I have instead tried to take it and just cope with it, sit with it. It was also really reassuring to be in therapy and to go through scenarios and situations that I would have and be told that my reactions were normal for the situation or for my past history. Overall, I think I just learned a lot about myself and also realized I have a lot more to learn about myself. Working through mental health is a process. It's not a one and done type thing. I mean, for a lot of people who struggle with depression, it's gonna come and go at different points in your life. Mine always comes back really hard when I am under a lot of stress or when I feel like I don't have control over my life, when there's a lot of things happening and I don't feel like I have a lot of decisions that I get to make. I'll feel trapped, and that usually puts me in a pretty big depression. And so I know that I'll have other points in my life where I'm dealing with hard things and I probably will struggle a lot more with depression, and I'll have to try harder with my coping skills and remember the things that I've learned and possibly go back to therapy. That was something else. You know, I had kind of hoped that I would get into therapy and work through everything that I needed to work through, and then I would be done. And I can see the progress that I made now that I'm at the end. And I'm looking back and I am reflecting on situations and things that I've worked through and the things that I've learned. But I remember going into sessions every week and feeling like, am I even making any progress? You know, we would just sit there and talk, and it's not like I was getting a ton of homework to do or even felt like I was working through like my deep trauma. A lot of the time we would talk about my day-to-day life and situations and how I was handling that. And I would look at it like, am I wasting my time being in therapy? But each of those times where I was able to talk through, which is especially helpful for me, I would get responses and feel validated, and the progress, though it seemed minimal, was progress nonetheless, and overall as a whole was pretty significant. Someday I will go back and I will probably sort through more of the harder trauma to deal with, but I'm happy with the progress that I made now. And I was also encouraged to sit where I'm at for a little while. I made it through some pretty rough sessions and got back to a point where I felt happier and more at peace. And when I feel like I'm not as peaceful with my past, or it's interrupting more of my daily life again, that's probably when I'll go back. But for now, I can take what I've learned and keep practicing. Just in the last week, I have done mindfulness exercises multiple times. I have tried to sit with my feelings and reactions. Actually, just today, we were out with a family at a restaurant, and we had debated back and forth for too long on whether or not we wanted to go out. And so by the point that we were getting out, everyone was hungry. And we show up and they do not have a whole lot of people in the restaurant, but they don't seem to have quite enough servers for all the customers in the restaurant either. And so things were pretty slow going. I used to work in a restaurant, and so I know the process of everything. I know good service versus bad service, and I can be kind of critical of servers. I feel bad about it, but it's just kind of the reaction that I have. And so we showed up and got seated and had been sitting there for just a little bit, and the server walked by and said, "I'll come by in a few minutes and get your drink orders." So we're sitting there for a few minutes, long enough that we know what we want to eat. We had also looked at the menu before we went, so we were pretty well prepared. It was about an hour before the kids' bedtime. We knew we were going to be out late, but we were trying to minimize the amount of time that we would be out. And so when she finally came to get our drink orders, I said, "Oh, and we're ready to order too." And she said, "Well, I have to take this other table's orders before you, so I can't do that. Right now I'm just going to get your drink orders, but I can get you some appetizers." And we hadn't wanted any appetizers. And I don't know why, but I was really triggered. And I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that I was really hungry. And I felt angry and annoyed and was instantly criticizing her service. And then I was mad at myself for being mad at her. And it was just this frustrating loop of feeling a reaction that I didn't want to feel, then being mad at myself and beating myself up for how I was reacting. And I want to be clear, I was not rude or impolite to the server. I didn't say anything. I just said, "Okay," and that was it. But I didn't want to be that person. I didn't want to be somebody criticizing, being so criticizing or feeling so negative about an experience when we were out as a family trying to enjoy our evening. But I had a migraine today and I felt exhausted from it. And there were things that I wanted to get done today that I couldn't. I was hungry. And all of it combined left me to that reaction. And so I had to sit there, and I mean, I had plenty of time to sit there with that reaction while we were waiting for her to come back to take our order, and had to work through a lot. It wasn't easy. I didn't really have a place to do it. I was at the table with my family, with the kids asking for my attention and hanging all over me and telling me how hungry they were. And it was not an easy thing to do, but I took deep breaths. I tried to accept the way that I was feeling. I ate food eventually, which really helped my mood, and tried also to recognize the better service that we received through the rest of the evening. And by the end, I left there with overall a better opinion of the experience and of the server. And she mentioned to us that they started new menus that night, and she really did seem to be the only server for about 5 tables or so on our side of the restaurant. And so there were a lot of things that were behind the scenes on her part that I didn't know about when I had my initial reaction. But I was able to work through all of those feelings, and I was able to come down from my initial reaction of intense anger and frustration into a more like peaceful and happy mood. And I didn't leave the experience feeling like it was tainted, which I've had a tendency to do in the past. I also tend to feel like I'm the only one who experiences these feelings or has these thoughts. Like, I must be a bad person because I feel this way, because I get frustrated. Like, I am my harshest critic and have felt for a very long time that I'm not allowed to have these feelings, that I need to be better, I need to be more of a pleasant person, that I shouldn't be myself. As I was sitting at the table and my husband could see that I was clearly upset, I was thinking to myself that he must be so embarrassed to be with me, who has this reaction of being super frustrated about the service at a restaurant. Now, I know what it's like to be with other people who are frustrated at service and who express that frustration to people, and it can be embarrassing. But for one, that's not what I was doing. But for two, why am I not allowing myself to be frustrated, to feel anger, to have these emotions that to have these emotions and to feel so uncomfortable having them? And that's what I'm working on, because this is a pretty common thing. I would go over situations in therapy often and express that I felt angry or frustrated about how something happened, or being apprehensive about something. And she would tell me, you know, for the situation, that's a pretty normal response. And I have just never felt normal. And it has been so reassuring to feel a little bit more normal, to feel validated in my reactions, and to see a new light on these emotions. For so long, I have pushed a lot of these feelings down and told myself that I shouldn't be feeling them, and I'm learning to have them. That's what practicing is for, and that's why going to therapy is so beneficial, is because you can learn these skills, you can learn things about yourself that then you can implement into your life in different situations, and you keep practicing and you keep getting better. Something else I remember feeling like was really revolutionary in my therapy experience is I've always heard the phrase, it's not your fault. If you go through abuse or anything in the realm of that, it's not your fault what has happened to you. And I've known that for a long time. I've taken that with me for a long time. But I have never really internalized it until I started working through the abuse that I've been through. And I'd say that I had to make certain decisions to protect myself, to protect my children, and that I felt bad about it, about these decisions that I felt like I needed to make. And then my therapist would tell me, it's not your fault. That, yeah, I am making those decisions, but it's because I have to. I have to, and it's not my fault. And it doesn't matter how it affects other people, because it's not my fault. What happens to people who abuse you is not your fault. And for so long, I had felt like I couldn't always pick the right decisions. I couldn't always make the right decisions for myself. Even now, I still struggle with making some decisions that would better serve me because I have put other people before myself. And once again, it's something that I'm going to have to keep working on. But just to have that realization that it wasn't my fault, not just what happened, but all of the consequences after, everything that continues to happen, any consequences are not my fault. I know that there are people out there who feel like they can't share things, they can't, or they don't want to ruin someone's life, they don't want to make someone else suffer consequences because they care about them. It may seem foreign to people who haven't been through the experience, but a lot of the time there is an emotional attachment to an abuser. A lot of the time it's somebody that you know personally. And so often the people who have been abused want to protect their abuser. And so it can be hard to make decisions and to talk about what's happened. It can be hard to do that because you think that you are responsible for what happens to them. And that is the part that I learned, that is on them, not you. It seems like such a simple thing, like a no-brainer, but it wasn't for me. Not in the way that I thought it was. And so that has been eye-opening to me. It's still kind of an uncomfortable realization, but I'm trying to make decisions that better serve me and my well-being, and trying to do what's going to help me heal. Because for a long time, I haven't done that. The last thing that I feel like I really took out of therapy, you know, and these are just like the most general, the most impactful things I've learned, is how to break things down into steps. And this applies to so many different things. So for one, just the progression that you make can be acknowledged. I have talked about this before on different episodes, but when you're doing a goal, it's okay if you don't do it every day. It doesn't discredit the work that you're putting in on the days that you do it. I posted something on my Instagram stories recently. It was like, working out one day is better than never working out. And you can build from there. You know, if you exercise one day and you don't exercise the next day, it doesn't discredit the exercise you did the day before. If you choose to be kind to somebody and then you lash out at somebody the next day, it doesn't discredit the kindness you did the day before, especially if you make amends for the lash out. If you save a dollar, it's better than saving nothing. Some of those examples were better than others, but basically, like, the progress matters. I initially went to therapy. I had wanted to go to therapy for a long time, personal therapy, because I knew I needed it. I have a very messy and complicated past, and so I knew that I needed to work through some of it. But what really pushed me over the edge was my anxiety. I was having anxiety so bad to the point where I felt like I could barely leave my house. I couldn't take care of like my basic needs. I mean, I was eating and sleeping and things like that, but it I had anxiety about going to the grocery store, even going to the park. I was suffering really terribly, and so that pushed me over to the edge to get therapy. And the way that I started making progress was by taking things a step at a time. the best example was in my town that we have a few hole in the wall restaurants, and I have wanted to try some of them, but I have always been a little bit anxious about going in because I don't know what kind of food they serve. I don't know the ordering process. Sometimes even knowing where to park makes me very nervous, and that'll prevent me from going anywhere. I will stick with the same restaurants they go to all the time because that's more comfortable to me. And so she would encourage me to start with small steps. So on Google Maps, it's very easy to enter in a place you want to go and get a street view of that place. So you can kind of see like the parking situation. You can kind of see the layout. You can also see pictures that people have posted. You can often see the menu. So you can look a lot of things out. And she was like, use that as your first step, you know, investigate this place that you're interested in going. Then once you've done that, the next step is go and drive to that restaurant so you can kind of figure out the parking. You can watch people walk in. You know, if you're feeling brave enough, go ahead and go into the restaurant and just take a look around. You can find out where you need to order. You can get a good look at the place, get a feel of the environment. And she said, just tell them you're waiting on somebody and you'll wait outside and you can leave. And then the next time you can go back, you already are familiar with the parking, you've been inside, and you can go eat there. But just breaking things down into more manageable steps can help you overcome your anxiety. And it worked. I was able to go to a restaurant that I've been eyeing for quite a while. We pulled up and I was still kind of nervous to go in, but I knew it was something that I wanted to do. It was someplace that I had been wanting to go to for a long time. And I had enough courage and confidence to go and eat there, and it was delicious. Expensive, but delicious. And that was something I was struggling with a year ago. Since beginning therapy, I have been able to go to the park with my kids and hang out with some friends many, many times. I've taken care of things that I had put off for a long time. I still experience a lot of anxiety, but I try to break things down as much as I can, give myself credit for the progress that I do make, and I try to turn it into a positive experience as much as I can as well. So if I have to do something that I don't like, I try to then pair it with something that I do enjoy doing so that it kind of evens out the experience a little bit. I would sometimes get nervous before my therapy appointments, and so I tried to set aside about 15 minutes beforehand to do some mindfulness exercises and just sit and think and do some breathing exercises and anything I could to settle the anxiety and prepare myself for the experience. So I still experience a lot of anxiety, but it's the skills that I've learned that I can take with me and that allow me to work through the anxiety, the things that make me nervous, and these situations that seem overwhelming. I'm not perfect. There are still a lot of things that take me much longer than I would like to do, but I am also really proud of how far I've come, and I try to give myself a little bit of grace on the things that are still difficult for me. And I'm hoping that even though I'm not in therapy currently, that I'll be able to look back even a year from now and see even more progress that I've made, continuing to use these skills and learning more about myself, that I'll be able to see a lot of progress. So I'd say those were the main things that I learned in therapy. I am incredibly grateful for the experience. It did not take very long for me to wish that I was still going to therapy. At first, it was kind of a relief to have that time back every week that I wasn't in therapy. It was kind of a relief to not have the intense emotions from bringing up painful memories. But I also have kind of missed being able to take things that happen and dissect them with my therapist. I feel like my husband gets a lot more of that now. Sometimes I feel like I'm struggling more than others and I start to freak out, thinking that I'm spiraling a little bit. And I would always go into therapy when I felt like I was spiraling and be reassured that I was doing okay, and to not have that sounding board sucks at times. But I also realize that I have to just be my own sounding board and trust that I can make my way through the situations that I come across. So I highly recommend personal therapy. I have said and will always say that everyone could use a little therapy for something or another. I mean, especially in today's world with everything that we're coping with, how fast things move in society and in the world, the hardships that you have to deal with, everyone faces something or another that's difficult. So if you have the means, I definitely recommend therapy. Anyway, thank you so much for listening, you guys. I'll catch you in the next one.